Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, my name is Susie Haynes, and I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram from Friday, October 27th, 2023, Section A, State and Local News. Texas Oil and Gas Association. State's oil gas production sets record for second straight month, by Mella McEwen. Texas crude and natural gas production continues at a record pace, according to the Texas Oil and Gas Association. TexOGA's chief economist, Dean Foreman, said in the monthly economic analysis he prepares for the association, Texas oil production broke the record it set in August, rising to 5.9 million barrels per day. Texas natural gas marketed production also broke its record set in August, rising to 34.6 billion cubic feet per day of natural gas gross withdrawals. Foreman's analysis also found that Texas exported nearly $125 billion of energy products in the first 7 months of 2023. Further, Texas crude oil production rose to 43.4% of oil production in the U.S., and Texas's natural gas production represents 27.5% of overall U.S. production. Foreman told the Reporter Telegram by email, increases in the prices of oil and natural gas have historically corresponded with greater drilling activity and production. In fact, Texas oil and natural gas industry has already begun to respond, with producers deploying 7 new oil rigs this past week, per Baker Hughes. But the rest of the U.S. fell by 6 oil rigs, for a net gain of 1 oil rig as of October 20th, he wrote. At the same time, Texas refineries set a record in July, the most recent data available, processing 5.6 million barrels of crude per day and 3.1 million barrels a day of natural gas liquids. Texas refineries and petrochemical manufacturers' utilization of record amounts of crude and natural gas liquids shows the industry's flexibility to adapt their facilities and add value to increasingly more of the state's production, Foreman wrote. This, in turn, furthers the global competitiveness of Texas manufacturing and reinforces investments and in-state economic benefits through the value chain, from production to pipelines, to and processing at Mount Bellevue and other in-state locations, to fuels and the building blocks and materials, plus products made from them, he continues. There is no reason that Texas, the ninth largest economy in the world, should be reliant on other countries to meet its strategic supply and material needs, and these record-breaking numbers further underscore the Lone Star State's continued importance as a manufacturing and energy leader, Foreman concluded. This data confirms the Texas oil and natural gas industry is a powerhouse of production, pipelines, processing, and ports, all while continuing to make solid gains in environmental progress. TXOGA President Todd Staples said in a statement, investment in infrastructure by our industry is what enables this high level of performance, which further solidifies the Lone Star State's position as the world's energy leader. At a time of global unrest, all Texans and Americans should take comfort in knowing the men and women in the oil and natural gas industry are working every day to achieve a new level of energy security, said Foreman. With the current geopolitical environment and the domestic crude oil reserves near 40-year lows, it's imperative that the U.S. have smart energy policies to develop essential U.S. oil and natural gas resources. As the U.S. has reached a new crude oil production record of 13.2 million barrels a day, it's clear that Texas's record-high production has remained the primary driver of U.S. and increasingly global energy security. City. Budget forecast shows $46 million difference in expenses, revenues. By Stuart Doreen. City of Midland staff provided the City Council a five-year budget forecast this week that shows expenses climbing at a higher rate than revenue and causing a potential $46 million difference by fiscal year 2029. Expenses, according to a presentation at Tuesday's meeting, showed general fund expenses jumping 7.4% to $239.34 million, while revenue rises 2.9% to $193.22 million. The chart showed fiscal year 2024 revenue and expenses at $167.49 million. A budget recap showed fixed costs in the fiscal year 2024 budget totaled $157.7 million, and one-time costs reached $9.8 million. Most one-time costs are related to road maintenance and construction, while 64% of the fixed costs were on City of Midland personnel. The information was meant to provide city leaders a financial picture moving forward. City staff stated it was part of a planning tool and that the numbers were estimates and will change. Forecasting was accomplished by looking at the last 5 years and finding the average increase. The average increase then was applied to each of the next 5 fiscal years. The multi-year financial outlook model is a tool used in the budget development process, the city noted. It highlights strategic challenges of customer expectations with limited resources. The numbers also don't take into account revenue in the oil and gas fund, which is expected to help fund improvements at city parks. The forecast was meant to help city leaders create a strategic plan that determines what to fund over the next 5 years. A strategic planning session was held Thursday at the SEED complex at the UT Permian Basin's Midland campus. We need to prepare the things that we need in our organization, from a staffing standpoint to effectuate a lot of the changes that the people want in the community, Midland City Manager Tommy Gonzalez said Thursday. And you can't do that by doing things the way we've been doing it. So a plan gives us a beacon, gives us the true North Star of what the council wants. Editor's note, a recap of the strategic planning session will take place in an upcoming edition. BizBuzz, Floris Flight Services, Providing West Texans with Freedom of Flight, by Ben Schaefer. Floris Flight Services, located in Midland Air Park, is a flight school and aircraft rental service focusing on providing West Texans with the freedom of flight. Floris Oldenbrock, the owner, is currently a pilot for Southwest Airlines and has almost 2 decades of commercial aviation experience. Floris Flight Services began operation in January 2013. Back in 2012, I moved to Midland for a different job, Oldenbrock said. I was an airline pilot before then, and I wanted to stay involved in aviation and spread that knowledge and get more people into aviation. At the time, I was renting a plane first from Basin Aviation, and I realized there's more demand, so it kind of grew from there. In 1 month, Oldenbrock said Floris Flight Services will take on about 18 new students. In August, Yahoo Finance reported that the airline industry is experiencing a shortage of around 30,000 commercial pilots, mechanics, and air traffic controllers, which contributes to flight delays and higher prices for passengers. Although much of Floris's clientele is looking for personal pilot licenses and aren't necessarily pursuing a career in commercial aviation, Oldenbrock said he's seen a recent uptick in the number of young adults attending classes in hopes to pursue a career related to flight. Lately, we are starting to see more younger students coming into it that are wanting to do it as a career. In the beginning, when we started, the majority of it was just people doing it as a hobby. They were established in their own careers. Now, the last 2 to 3 years, when people started talking about the pilot shortage, we're starting to see more people in Midland that are younger, in their early 20s or late teens, that are starting to get into it just to do it as a career, Oldenbrock said. According to Oldenbrock, there are a variety of jobs available for those with a pilot's license, like flight instruction, pipeline patrol, banner towing, skydive pilots, and a lot more. After gaining experience in these entry-level jobs, corporate opportunities at airline or aviation companies are a logical career goal. In addition, law enforcement, firefighting, and emergency medical entities need pilots as well. Even if a Midlander would like to fly commercial airlines, they must obtain a private pilot license first. The FAA minimum is 40 hours of flight time to obtain a license. The national average is more like 65, I believe, now. It's really in the student's control on how fast they do that. A lot of the ground school portion is done online at home, Oldenbrook said. He added that students will generally show up for a 2-hour block of instruction. The time it takes for a student to complete their certification is up to how many times the student comes to class in a week. If they fly 5 times a week, it goes faster than somebody who only flies 2x a week. We recommend you fly at least 2x a week. If you fly 2x a week, it will probably take you upward toward 6 to 8 months. If you come in every day of the week, you could do it in like 6 to 8 weeks, Oldenbrook said. Oldenbrook added that the first private pilot's license one receives permits them to fly 1-engine planes that weigh less than 12,500 pounds. Most 1-engine planes will weigh less than that, according to Oldenbrook. In addition, pilots must receive additional training until they fly any aircraft with more than 200 horsepower. Usually what people do is, after that, receiving their first pilot's license, they get what is called their instrument rating, which means that now they can fly that single-engine airplane in the clouds. Before, they could only fly it outside the clouds, where you can look down and see a visual reference. Prospective pilots can then pursue a multi-engine rating, which allows them to fly planes with more than one engine. As planes get bigger, over 12,500 pounds, or a jet, pilots receive specific training on each aircraft. Although their main resource is pilot training, Flores also provides plane rental and brokerage services. When it comes to the power of flight, Oldenbrook cited the freedom that personal piloting provides. Well, the freedom, right? To go wherever you want to go, when you want to go. It's a lot more convenient. Even though it flies slower than an airline, just the convenience of going when you want to go. Saving the time of not having to go early to the airport and going directly to your destination, it gives you freedom, Oldenbrook remarked. County, put phones away at election centers, by Stuart Doreen. Midland County stated Thursday there have been issues with people not putting their phones away at early voting centers. We've had some trouble with voters getting upset when asked by election workers to put their phones away at the voting centers, the county wrote on Thursday. Please help us remind voters that use of electronic devices is prohibited within 100 feet of a vote center. If voters have their cheat sheets for voting on their phone, that information needs to be transferred to a piece of paper before coming to vote. The county also clarified information provided last week having to do with voters wearing school names or district logos on shirts or clothing. The Midland County Elections Administrator reached out to the Secretary of State Office for clarity, the district wrote. SOS office says individual school shirts and anything with the plain MISD logo is okay. Only clothing that has anything for or against the bond is prohibited. District ID badges are prohibited, the district wrote. We apologize for any confusion this may have caused, the county wrote. Midland ISD to spend $12,700 plus on Get Out the Vote campaign, by Stuart Doreen. Midland ISD will spend more than $12,700 on get-out-the-vote spending for the November 7th election. Appearing on the ballot is the district's $1.415 billion school bond proposal, and Midland ISD has spent money or has received quotes on fact sheets sent home with students, fact sheets that are part of a mailer, yard signs, stickers, and campus posters. That $12,758 is less than just one mailer that the district paid for during the 2019 school bond election period. Midland ISD spent more than $122,000 on materials related to the $569 million bond election in 2019. In this election, the Get Out the Vote effort does not violate Texas election code because it does not persuade potential voters to vote one way or the other. The list of Get Out the Voter items from the district include fact sheet one-pagers sent home with elementary school students one time, 400 signs put on campuses across the district, don't forget to vote stickers for employees, printed posters with early voting locations and days and times for campuses, a letter to be mailed to parents. The spending includes $4,169.52 for one-sheet printing, $493 for stickers, $3,052 for yard signs, $63.40 for campus posters, and $4,981.22, a quote received for letter to be mailed. Earlier this month, the PAC Energize Midland Schools reported $424,866 in political contributions in a pre-election campaign finance report. National Weather Service: no wintry precipitation expected with cold front this weekend. By Stuart Doreen. The National Weather Service expects close to freezing temperatures when the first real cold front from the fall moves through the Permian Basin this weekend. The National Weather Service is showing that the cold front is set to arrive sometime early Sunday, and that low temperatures will drop from the 60s on Thursday and Friday to 34 on Sunday night and 33 on Tuesday night. Normal low temperatures for this time of year are around 50 degrees, according to the National Weather Service. The last freeze of the spring took place on March 19th. The average date for the last freeze of the spring is March 27th. The average date for the first freeze of the fall is November 11th, according to the National Weather Service. The first freeze isn't expected, according to the National Weather Service, and neither is wintry precipitation. A chance for showers is expected Friday night, 30%, Saturday night, 20%, and Sunday, 40%. A chance of showers is also expected on Monday, the National Weather Service reported. After some mild days to end the week, the strongest front for the season so far is set to move through, bringing much cooler air into the region, the National Weather Service reported. AAA Texas: gas prices drop 4 cents in Midland. By Ben Schaefer. Although statewide average fuel prices have been on a decline for the past 6 weeks, there has been a deceleration in the rate of price decreases, AAA Texas reported Thursday. This can be attributed to two key factors: the persistent influence of crude oil prices and the persistent summer-like demand for gasoline. Both these factors have collectively prevented retail fuel prices from experiencing a more substantial drop. The most recent data from the Energy Information Administration indicates that gasoline supplies increased slightly week to week. This, coupled with the imminent switch to winter blend gasoline, holds the potential to exert additional downward pressure on retail prices in the upcoming days, AAA reported. The statewide gas price average dropped by a penny this week, from $3.03 to $3.02. Although fuel prices statewide fluctuated, and West Texas fuel prices dipped slightly, Midland is home to the third highest gas prices statewide at $3.21 after a 4-cent decline this week. Four of the five highest gas prices statewide, according to AAA Texas, are found in West Texas cities. Fuel prices in Abilene dropped by 5 cents to $2.90 this week. Prices in Amarillo saw no change. The $3.18 average fuel price in Amarillo is the fourth highest in Texas. Gas prices in El Paso remain the highest in the state after a 5-cent decrease to $3.32. Prices in Lubbock also dipped 5 cents to $3.16, the fifth highest average statewide. Gas prices in Odessa also fell 4 cents to $3.13. The cheapest fuel prices in the state are found in McAllen at $2.87. The recent decline in pump prices seems to have momentarily hit a plateau, said Daniel Armbruster, spokesperson for AAA Texas. For the sixth consecutive week, the statewide gas price average has dipped, but only by a penny, over the last week. If gasoline supplies continue to build and crude oil prices decrease, drivers may find further savings just around the corner. Texas is home to the third cheapest gas price average in the country. Georgia, $2.99, and Mississippi, $3.01, are the states with cheaper fuel averages. Alpine teen sentenced to prison for possession of child pornography. A 19-year-old Alpine man was sentenced in a federal court in Alpine to 6.5 years in prison for possession of child sexual abuse material, according to the Department of Justice. Timothy Ray Cortland engaged in multiple conversations, sexual in nature, with a minor in another state over the messaging application Discord, according to court documents. A search warrant for his Discord account revealed multiple instances where he claimed to have child sexual abuse material. Agents with Homeland Security Investigations and the FBI conducted a search warrant at Cortland's residence, removing all of his electronics, and found multiple video files depicting young children engaged in sexual activity saved in an application on his cell phone. Cortland pleaded guilty on March 28th to possession of child pornography. This defendant, by his own estimate, possessed around 2,000 videos of child sexual abuse material and other illicit sexual content, and was forming an online relationship with a minor, said U.S. Attorney Jaime Esparza for the Western District of Texas. I appreciate the collaborative efforts by our federal law enforcement partners to prevent Cortland from causing any further harm to his victims. This federal prison sentence should serve as a warning to anyone who seeks out and possesses material of this nature that we will be relentless in our pursuit of justice. Buffett resumes Occidental Petroleum buys. Company joins oil buying frenzy, by Josh Funk. Investor Warren Buffett joined the recent oil buying spree in the market this week by resuming Berkshire Hathaway's purchases of Occidental Petroleum stock for the first time in 4 months. Buffett's company said in a Securities and Exchange Commission filing late Wednesday that it invested more than $246 million to add to its already massive Occidental stake over the first 3 days of this week. Berkshire bought nearly 4 million more shares of the Houston-based oil producer to give it more than 228 million shares and control of nearly 26% of Occidental. Buffett had been consistently buying Occidental stock whenever the stocks fell below $60 as he built Berkshire's stake since early last year, but this week he was willing to pay more than $63 for some of these new shares. The latest Berkshire purchases began on the same day Chevron announced it was buying Hess Corporation for $53 billion in the second mega deal in the oil sector this month. Less than 2 weeks earlier, ExxonMobil said that it would acquire Pioneer Natural Resources for about $60 billion. Clearly, Buffett Chevron, and Exxon are all betting that oil will remain a significant source of the nation's fuel sources well into the future, even as the United States works to transition more to renewable energy sources. And Buffett knows the oil sector well. Not only is Berkshire the biggest shareholder in Occidental, it also owns more than 123.1 million Chevron shares in its $350 billion portfolio. Many investors like to follow Buffett's moves in the market because of his remarkably successful track record over the years. He doesn't comment on stock purchases like this beyond what he's required to disclose as a major shareholder, but Buffett typically handles all of Berkshire's biggest investments worth $1 billion or more. Berkshire's Occidental stake is now worth more than $14.4 billion. Last year, Buffett did get permission from federal regulators to buy up to 50% of Occidental, and Berkshire holds warranty to buy another 83.9 million shares for $59.62 apiece. So more purchases seem likely, but Buffett has said he has no plans to buy the entire company. In addition to the common Occidental shares Berkshire owns, it also holds 84,897 preferred shares of Occidental that it picked up in 2019 when it helped finance Occidental's acquisition of Anadarko. Berkshire used to hold more of these preferred shares, but Occidental has started redeeming them this year at $110,000 apiece to eliminate the hefty dividend the oil producer has to pay on them. Berkshire's portfolio includes major stakes in Apple, Bank of America, and Coca-Cola stock. But the Omaha, Nebraska-based conglomerate also owns dozens of companies outright, including Geico Insurance, BNSF Railroad, several large utilities, and an assortment of manufacturing and retail firms. Obituaries and death notices. Margaret Price Cowden. Margaret Price Cowden peacefully died October 24, 2023 in her home. Margaret was born on May 15, 1930 in Pampa, Texas, to Willis Davidson Price Sr., Fady, and Margaret Chatterton Price, Honey, as part of a pioneer Texas Panhandle ranching family. Margaret is survived by her sons Price, Holt, and Lynn Cowden, daughters Cynthia Clark and Susan Rayburn, 14 grandchildren, and 29 great-grandchildren. Margaret is preceded in death by her beloved husband Courtney of 52 years, and by her parents, her sisters Mary Patterson, Martha Smith, Harriet Fodry, and by her brother Buddy Price. She was also preceded in death by two grandchildren, Catherine Ann Clark and Blake Cowden Rayburn, and by great-grandchildren Carl Hugo Donegis and Mary Caroline Cowden. A visitation with family and friends will be held from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday, October 29th, at the branch at Nally and Pickle and Welch Funeral Home, 3800 North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas. A memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. Monday, October 30th, at First Presbyterian Church, 800 West Texas Avenue in Midland. Margaret Cowden will be buried in the Cowden family gravesite at Fairview Cemetery following a memorial service. In lieu of flowers, memorial gifts honoring Margaret Cowden may be directed to The Village at Manor Park, 2208 North Loop 250 Midland, Texas, 79707, to First Presbyterian Church, 800 West Texas Avenue, Midland, Texas, 79701, or to Friends of Fairview Advised Fund, Permian Basin Area Foundation, 3312 Andrews Highway, Midland, Texas, 79703. Greg Keyes. James Gregory, Greg Keyes, 89, left this life on October 23, 2023, to be reunited with his beloved wife, Dorothy. Greg was born on November 8, 1933, to Ruth Ann and Hollis Keys in Pampa, Texas. Greg is preceded in death by his parents and his beloved wife, Dorothy, who died in 2014. He is survived by two sons, Randy and David, and two grandchildren. Greg also has numerous nieces and nephews. The family will receive friends for visitation on Friday, October 27, 2023, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home. Graveside services will be at 1 p.m. on Saturday, October 28, 2023, at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Richard Montechica. Richard Montechica. Richard Allen Rick Montechica was born on March 21, 1955, in Van Wert, Ohio, to Frank George Montechica and Mary Frances Soaker Montechica, and passed away on October 24, 2023, in Hudson Oak, Texas, at the age of 68. Rick is survived by his wife, Christy, of 25 years, and his children, Mickey Ray, Jesse Ray, Sarah Smith, Rachel Campbell, and Chandler Schoonover. He had 11 grandchildren. He is also survived by his three brothers, Frank, Tom, and Mike Montechica. A celebration of life will be held on December 2, 2023, at the Fort Worth Botanic Garden, located at 3220 Botanic Garden Boulevard, Fort Worth, Texas. The celebration will take place at 2 p.m. Celebratory attire is encouraged. In lieu of flowers, the family asks that you consider making a donation to the National Parks Foundation or to Canine Companions. Robert C. Edge, 90, of Midland, passed away October 7, 2023. No service is planned. Cremation arrangements are under the direction of Gilbreth Funeral Home of Stanton. New Museum of the Southwest exhibit features Western landscapes by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Hailing from Rhode Island, Christopher W. Benson and Russell Horton both found beauty in the landscapes of the American Southwest. After leaving their home state, each artist followed a different path, Benson working as a builder and cabinet maker, and Horton in painting school, before finding their niche. Now, each artist holds a list of awards and exhibits, both nationwide and abroad. Benson, a two-time Paulette Krassner Foundation's Painting Fellowship recipient, said his work charts an arc from portraiture to figurative interiors, architectural scenes, landscapes, and seascapes. For 20 years, I have also painted abstractly, yet through all these explorative phases, I have single-mindedly honed my skill in the handling of oil paint itself, a tactile aesthetic instrument which I play with often, gestural brushwork, distilled into formally complex and richly colored contemporary scenes. Through his pieces on display at the Museum of the Southwest, guests will be able to see the hidden beauty found in the space around us. Reflections of New Mexico blend elegantly into the West Texas vacancy, where bright colors showcase more than red dirt. As for Horton, he likes to showcase the impact of human presence. Between the architecture of pump jacks, holding tanks, water towers, and other agricultural and industrial structures which gain exaggerated prominence in the stark openness of my compositions, I exchange the nostalgic, rhetorical tradition of the pristine, unspoiled American landscape for the more acute contemporary portrayals of a workday world that, viewed out a car window, flashes quickly as we travel to more pressing appointments and locales, Horton said. In his portion of the exhibit, guests will find said contrast to be both captivating and startling. The use of bright, figurative colors allows Horton to provide dimension beyond the physical structure. The Benson-Horton display will run through February 4th. The museum is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Friday, and 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday. It is located at 1705 West Missouri Avenue.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, October 21st, 2023. Religion. Low point leads Rodriguez to enlightenment. El Paso native to join church staff in Mexico City by Bob Campbell. Midland. It wasn't easy for Emiliano Milo Rodriguez to get where he is now. The graduate of a rigorous 2-year ministerial training program who is about to join a big church in Mexico City as its assistant minister and youth leader. But he says the process amounted to his thorough preparation for the future. The 26-year-old El Paso native attended Northwest Vista College in San Antonio for a year, welded for a fabrication company, and worked as a waiter for 3 years till undergoing a spiritual transformation and setting out on his true career path. He recently graduated from Sunset International Bible Institute in Lubbock, and he will work at Iglesia de Cristo Metropolitana in Mexico City. Being a waiter taught me how to be a servant and care for others, Rodriguez said, but I encountered many unworthy things during that time. I was in a dark pit. Serving as intern here at Downtown Church of Christ in Midland till his wife, Ruth, gets her green card and can travel freely between the United States and Mexico, Rodriguez said he confessed to a minister and was told to go lock yourself in a closet and tell God what you just told me. I talked to God for about an hour and a half, he said. Once I got started, I couldn't stop. I feel a lot of passion about proclaiming the gospel. I love to preach the message because it is 100% real and true. It's not just any story. It is the most important story in the history of mankind. I want to deliver God's word in such a way that people want to hear and know more. Rodriguez and his wife are alumni of Sunset International Bible Institute's Adventures in Missions program. They have a year-old son, Boaz. Rodriguez's favorite scripture is John 3:30, which quotes John the Baptist as saying about Jesus, "He must become greater. I must become less." Downtown Church of Christ minister Greg Fleming said Rodriguez had been preaching on alternate Sundays and has been a great asset to us. I first met Milo when he was with AIM in Mexico City, Fleming said. He was part of a 5-member team that was very effective, and he was a key part of that effectiveness. He loves people and wants to share the love of God with them. He has a great interest in learning more and more about the scriptures. Fleming said Rodriguez's chief interests are in discipleship and evangelism, and that Ruth, a native of Mexico, is well grounded in the scriptures. Milo's life enhances the work he does, the minister said, adding that Rodriguez and he had been preaching from the book of James in mid-September. I'm very excited about the future for Ruth and him. She is equally effective in the work they will be doing. We cannot share what we do not have, by Dr. William F. Holland, Jr., ordained and licensed Christian minister. Recently, I spoke about a wonderful man who is a member of our church, and if you recall, he just turned 95 years young. His name is Charlie, and since then, I've had the privilege to spend some time with him. I listened intently as he shared his amazing testimony about what has been going on with him for the last couple of years. He said throughout his life he had been a person of few words, a quiet person who just minded his own business and kept his thoughts to himself. He believed his low-key demeanor was interpreted by those who knew him as someone unfriendly, and as a result was shunned and ignored. When his wife passed away not too long ago, he was left all alone and began to struggle with how he had felt like an outcast for his low-key personality. A while back, after listening to a sermon by our pastor about the importance of personal evangelism, after the service he found the courage to say, "You mean the Lord wants me to ask if they know Jesus, and if they are not close to God, I should invite them to church?" Our pastor said, "Yes, absolutely." And this was another confirmation about what he knew the Lord was speaking to him. Charlie told the Lord he was sorry for being so unfriendly, and the more time he spent praying and asking God to take control, he could sense that he was being changed in the deepest recesses of his soul. No doubt I was seeing this miracle, simply with the fact that he was communicating with me with such honesty and sincerity. The words were flowing from him so eloquently, I would have never known that just a short time ago, this would not have been normal for him at all. Sharing this new chapter in his life touched me and inspires me to know that at any age, God is ready to bring his tools and begin serious renovation if we will simply reach out to him in faith. The old saying is true. If we are serious about asking God to bring personal transformation within us, we better be ready for our world to be turned upside down. There is no way we can suppress our joy and excitement about Jesus if we have been saturated in the glories of his presence. This past summer, he wanted to rededicate his life to Christ and was baptized because he could not remember ever being baptized. So with this new boldness and enthusiasm, Charlie starts becoming somewhat of a social butterfly by greeting and speaking to people, witnessing, smiling, and just demonstrating more of a friendly and receptive disposition. I will go ahead and give you a spoiler alert. The amount of change that all of us have the potential to undergo will have everything to do with our level of love for others. As we move closer to God, we are filled with his love for us, and this in turn will spill out toward others. You've heard another old saying, if you want friends, show yourself to be friendly. Within the Christian faith, we are to be known by our love and how much we genuinely care about what others are going through. I've mentioned the key to becoming a more spiritual person, and that is spending quality time with the only one who can change the mind, conscience, and spirit of a human being. We can be used by God to tell them and love them, but it is God who has the power to transform us. I pray the Spirit will haunt us as children and servants of God to embrace our responsibility to not just go to church, but to spend time with God in prayer, which empowers and inspires our excitement and enthusiasm. A couple of crucial words within the Christian life are conviction and burden. Conviction is a blessing, as this allows us to know the Lord is trying to speak to us, and the more sensitive we are to his presence, the more likely we are to develop a burden for the lost. The reason why the average Christian does not pray or share their faith is because being filled with his Spirit is not a priority. Becoming constantly aware of his voice requires a desire to train and control our mind, which is an intentional act of self-discipline. Dr. Holland is an ordained minister, chaplain, and author. Read more about the Christian life at billyhollandministries.com. True Love in Our Homes by Giancarlo Viatoro, founding pastor of Victory Church, Odessa. If you are wondering what type of decorative items you could use for October, a true believer will never use any type of ghosts, skeletons, or skulls. Anything related with death is a clear indication that in your home you approve of participating in evil, darkness, witchcraft, or anything that has to do with invocations to dead people, or killing animals, or sacrifices dedicated to Satan. A person who claims that Halloween is his or her favorite holiday is openly saying that nothing else is more important than that. Not Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, Mother's Day, Father's Day, not even the birthday of a loved one. Independence Day, nothing else is more important than participating in a diabolical activity. Come on, that night is not about family and fun. Believing that is really absurd. Children do not need candy. We all like candy, but we don't need candy. Much less, children do not need that particular night of social entertainment, as some people want to put it. Children need education, direction, guidance, not another way to entertain them. Any responsible parent should entertain their children periodically in an intelligent way as they check what those kids are watching on TV and on their phones when they are alone. If anything, what children need is true love in their homes and to go to church every week. There are wonderful things that you can use to decorate your home. Do not be another naive or deceived person by inviting demons to come to your house. Are you intentionally asking satanic influence to come and possess the minds of your kids? Think. There are excellent ways for kids to have a weekly way to be entertained and to socialize with everyone, not just with kids. Parents need to do their job when the kids are little to guide them, love them, educate them, and entertain them. But telling yourself that your kids have to socialize with demon-possessed people, promoting anything evil, and of course including endorsing homosexuality. Really? Think. A devil's worshiper or someone totally deceived can't see the importance of true love in our homes. Not once in a while, but every day, having dinner together, talking about school, projects, and the sports and arts that your kids are part of. You and your family need a true social life with other families. Have you forgotten that? The true love in your home is what you do every day. Communicating with your kids, giving them affection and advice about the challenges they are facing. Loving your children is about spending time with them and listening to them. That is how you can understand them better, and kids love parents who listen to them. Engage with your kids, be part of their lives, and lead them to become good Christians and true active church members involved in your church. The happiness in a family is not about a night with custom and candy. Maybe the problem is that adults are just using another excuse to force themselves to smile and laugh because their own personal lives are miserable, which happens to anyone without the Lord God in their hearts. True love comes only from our Lord God. It begins with you, Dad and Mom. No matter what happens in the past, you can still make changes today. You need to come back to church and bring your kids with you.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.